All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13K, Flower of Life, the Blueprint of Creation? Well, here's what's called the Flower of Life. It's a very strange pattern that's almost mesmerizing. I mean, every time you look at it, you see something different. Whether it's circles stacked on top of circles or flowers budding out. In fact, it almost looks as if this is growing. And what makes this pattern so unique is that you can teach many different subjects on it. You can teach art, you can teach math, you can teach science, you can teach geometry, you can teach astronomy. And you can teach it in a way that you can use this pattern to form the most basic concepts to the most complicated. But still always giving something that the mind can picture. In fact, if you're homeschooling, you might want to do some more research on this, because what makes this such a great learning device is that it activates both the left and right sides of the brain. And that's pretty rare. In other words, you get both the artistic side and the logical side of the brain working together as one. And here are some of the subjects we were talking about there. Math, science, astronomy, and you name it. And I think studying this structure may even help explain many of the different mysteries in the Bible, because its pattern is perfectly symmetrical. Just like all things in creation, whether it's people, trees, planets, solar systems, stars, galaxies, you name it. I mean, God does everything in order. And that's kind of what this symbol, I believe, represents: order and symmetry in creation. And you might be thinking, well, how does this tie into our series of studies on 666? Well, I think it teaches us a lot of, like I said, a lot of the basic concepts of numbers and geometry, as well as the advanced concepts. And, well, let's go to a verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, and it reads, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" In other words, who's been able to do this? Have you, man, mere man, have you been able to hold all the waters of the earth in your hand? That's what God is saying here. "And meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." Who has done all these things? Well, Almighty God has. And what you notice there is all those words I highlighted in yellow. They all involve numbers. If you measure something, hey, you're coming up with a number. If you're meeting something out, it's another number. If you're comprehending something, when you're counting something like the dust of the earth, it has to do with numbers. It's pretty fascinating when you think about it. A lot of times Christians, you know, we think it's the holy thing to be ignorant, to not study anything to do with science or mathematics or numbers, geometry. We think that doesn't have anything to do with God's word or his plan. But it's all throughout his creation. Just as he stated here in this verse. And it doesn't stop there. It's all throughout his word as well. And it is fascinating. Let's go to another verse here, Psalms 111, verse 2. It says, "The works of the Lord are great and sought out of all them that have pleasure therein." In other words, the psalmist is saying here, hey, everything God does, everything he creates is magnificent. And those people who search, who try to understand his creation, try to understand God's works, take a great deal of pleasure in doing so. I mean, it's fascinating. When you look around at creation and you see the structure to it, and you see a plan to it and a pattern, and then when you align it with God's word, everything comes alive. Everything around you, whether it's his word, you just see things on a totally different level. While the rest of the people on this earth walk through blinded. When you look out at creation, it's got the thumbprint of the creator on it. You get to know a little bit more about him just like you do through his word. Because the creation is his works. Do we worship that like the pagans do? No way. We look at it as though it's God's creation. And it's beautiful. It's magnificent. It's wonderful. But again, you know, his works are ordered by numbers. Numbers are all over the Bible. God communicates with numbers. Did you know that? I mean, you go to the book of Revelation and many people realize there's sevens all over that book. Why? Of course, we're studying that book right now, but why are there sevens all over that book? Well, because God is trying to tell us something. What is that something? Well, you got to go all the way back to understanding numerics as a whole. It's not just one simple answer. It's a whole system. It's like a whole language. And what's fascinating about it is a lot of the astronomical numbers, as far as the size of the sun, the distance between the earth and the sun and the moon, and all those different things, they're done according to some specific numbers that you see repeated throughout the Bible. Even the length of days in a solar year, a perfect prophetic perfect 360-day prophetic year. You name it. Hey, I don't know how many studies we're going to do in this series of mathematics, numbers, sacred geometry, and the number 666. But this is such a vast topic that explains so many things. Sometimes it's difficult to even know where to begin. I mean, it's so exciting. So when I point out different resources, I really encourage you guys to go and do your own research on some of these things. We're going to bring as much as we can out, but there's no way you'll get the full effect unless you take some of those resources and digest them for yourself. One of them was a book written in 1891 called The Computation of 666. And it's a difficult read, especially if you're, you kind of haven't studied for that many years as a Christian. But if you have studied for a number of years and you are to that level of understanding where you can read through it. Yes, it's a little difficult at first, but it's one of those things where you go back with a highlighter and a pen and you work through all the different things, and then it comes alive. That computation of 666. If you go to our website, I'm trying to remember what tab it's under. In fact, I'll put it in the information section of this YouTube video. But otherwise, you can go to our website at ChristianOvercomers.com, and you can go to it might be under the podcasts tab, and then there might be free books. And you can download the digital format of it there. Anyways, hey, you know, when we talk about mathematics, if you hated math in school, don't worry, because biblical mathematics and the mathematics of creation is so much more exciting. I'm telling you what, even some of the more advanced mathematics is exciting, because you're not just learning meaningless numbers, you're learning them and you're applying them to something in God's Word, some part of His plan. And it gives you a better view of what's happening. Anyways, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding. We've taken this challenge on to try to calculate the number of the beast, the 666, that you told us that we would need wisdom and understanding to be able to accomplish. And we pray that you lead us in the right direction, and that you open our eyes, open our ears to your truth. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So the flower of life, you find it in many different places. You know, even the drawing by Leonardo. Here's a drawing by Leonardo da Vinci. As you can see there is the flower of life right there. You see the flower of life is a symbol. The flower of life is a symbol that has been found all over the world in all of the major different religions. Here's a slide here, the flower of life in the temple of Osiris in Egypt. And supposedly some people say that this is actually burned in here with some high advanced technology into this granite here. I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly is interesting. And then we come to this here. This is what's called the Chinese dragon, or the Fu Dog. And a very menacing looking creature. But if you look at it closely, it looks like some kind of a cherub or something. You know, it's got a lion's head. You know, it looks really strong, really menacing, you know, like, don't touch this. But look at what's under his hand here. You see this circle? Well, let's get a little closer look. It is the pattern of the flower of life. Interesting. Interesting. What's on here? We'll talk about what that is, too. That's another part of the pattern. But why is this menacing-looking dragon-type cherub putting his paw over this flower of life? Well, he would be guarding it. He would be guarding it. You know, perhaps this is Satan's copycat version of the cherubs who guarded the tree of life. Think about that. I think I had a verse here, and I don't know what I did with it. I think I put it later on down the line, but I was going to read the verse where God said he put at the, I think it was the east gate of Eden, or at the gates of Eden, cherubims to guard the way of the tree of life. Here, again, here it looks like Satan's kind of copycatting that. He's trying to guard some kind of a knowledge. And here's another view of that same dragon with his paw on top of that. And here's another view of that same type of a dragon. And now he's got his hand on something different. You see it right there? It looks like a swirling object of some sort. Well, what's interesting about that, that looks like another piece of sacred geometry that's found even in snail shells. You see the spiral there? There is a mathematical formula to this. How its ratio goes from small to larger, and keeps opening up. And it is what's called the Fibonacci spiral. And Fibonacci spirals follow a mathematical pattern found in nature and in astronomy, all over the place. And you can see here the different ratios, and there's a formula for that. And what I found was very interesting is 144 is in the Fibonacci sequence. Again, that's found all over creation, whether it's in the heavens, whether it's on Earth. 144 is found there. Well, those of you who have been studying the Bible long enough, that should ring a bell. Of the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel that were sealed in the book of Revelation. And it should also remind you of the height of the walls of New Jerusalem, were 144 cubits. A very special number. And this is what's called a sacred number, or some people call them mystic numbers. If you want to be safe, you can call them biblical mathematics. If mystic or something like that sounds too paganish or something like that. But anyways, it's a very important number to Almighty God. And he stamps it all over creation, wherever you see this kind of a spiral. And here's a mathematical equation for that. Maybe you'll be able to figure it out. This one, I'm not able to do it this time. See, I have to go back and relearn a lot of math because I forgot most of whatever I learned because I was bored. I was bored to tears in school. So I'm going to kind of be relearning some of these things as we go. But anyways, you see that this is what's called a spiral galaxy. And you see the same sacred geometry is used within this, of the Fibonacci spiral. It's used in plants. I mean, you name it. It's everywhere. A hurricane. I always thought it was fascinating that hurricanes look so much like a spiral galaxy. You know, God does that so often, where he's got a type or a little miniature example on earth of something that's up in heaven. He does things according to types and patterns. I mean, think about it. When he told Moses to build the tabernacle, or Solomon the temple, or whatever he told the Israelites to build, he said, do it after this pattern. And it was a pattern of a higher reality, a higher truth. And it's fascinating. God does not change his teaching. That's what's so wonderful about him. He can reach somebody that's on a very basic level, and they'll still get to eat the wonderful wisdoms, the manna that he pours forth from heaven. Even if someone doesn't understand all the real in-depth mysteries of his kingdom, God still takes care of them. They can still see things on a basic level. But here we go. You see this same Fibonacci spiral used in the human ear. It's in the sunflower. And, okay, we'll get back to this. There's another ball under this guy here. This is that same foo dog. And you can see here's a ball, another ball here. And I can't really tell what these are, but we'll move on. Probably something is important, I guess, because it's being guarded. And here's something that looks like, it looks like even like a beehive. You see the hexagons there? Bees make their hives like that. It's very interesting. It's got the flower. This is what's called the egg of life in the middle there. The egg of life. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But there you see this looks like, to me, the Fibonacci spiral. The curls of the hair. You see how Satan hides certain things from the masses? And, you know, because most people would not understand what these things would be, even in paganism. They'd have to be initiated into these mysteries. But this knowledge here, again, you might be looking at this, you might be thinking, well, what in the world, why would we even be studying something that Satan uses? Well, we got to remember, Satan steals things from God, and he claims them as his own. He's the great counterfeiter. And not only does he do that, but he changes their meaning some too. But anyways, we'll talk about that in a later slide, really quick here. But here's a flower of life here again, the subject we're studying. And there's something else here too. This is a big symbol in paganism here, the dot and the circle. Enough said about that for now. All right. You know, the first time I looked at this pattern, and I think I even mentioned it in a video in the beginning of this series, I looked at this pattern, the flower of life, and I looked at it with disdain because I saw its use in paganism and the New Age, and among the New Agers. And I noticed that some of them tattoo it all over their bodies, and others practically worship it. They practically worship it. And that really shouldn't surprise us because there's scripture after scripture where God tells us that that the people worship the creation rather than the creator. And that's what that's what paganism is really built off of, worshiping the creation. And that's definitely not what we're going to be doing here today. We're trying to understand creation as coming from the mind of God, not something to be worshipped. But anyways, yeah, I looked at that with disdain because I thought, oh man, this is all paganism. But then when I looked a little deeper into it, I started realizing, well, wait a minute, it seems as though there's something to this, but Satan has stolen it. And he's perverted it. You know, Satan is the greatest pervert of all. He takes things from God, and he perverts them. He corrupts them. I mean, you look at it, I mean, many different, a great deal of our churches today, hate to say it, but it's true, have been perverted by Satan. So does that mean since churches have the Bible inside of their houses of worship? Does that mean the Bible is bad or the Bible is evil? No, not at all. And that's what's happened with a lot of different symbols. You even find that the rainbow, for instance, was a beautiful symbol that God created, and uses a sign of the covenant he made with Noah, the covenant of mercy. But you know what? The New Agers and the homosexual movement has stolen that symbol and has perverted it. So symbols are not bad as long as you don't worship them, make an idol out of them, or something like that. Anyways, The same goes with the cross as well. The cross has been perverted by paganism too, and that's another subject for another time. But what I thought was fascinating about this is this flower of life. I used to always wonder, what in the world are these crop circles? Yeah, of course, there are many fakes and people, with people creating these things. But some of these crop circles, it's evident that no man could do. It had to have been from some higher technology. And not just men walking around in a field pushing crops down and so forth. But so you see the flower of life. So if this is done by a higher intelligence, what is the purpose? Well, I believe because the flower of life, like we mentioned in the beginning, can be used as a teaching aid. In fact, it could be a language all in itself. All right. We'll look at a few of these. Here's another look at one. Now, these aren't just meant to be pretty or to be really neat. Again, they're conveying a message. Here's one with a six-pointed star and a bunch of circles. And this isn't the flower of life, but I wanted to show you this because a lot of the things, you know, when you're dealing with sacred geometry, point to astronomy. And here, what you see here, if this is a real one, and it sort of looks like when you see this pattern in the middle there, I don't know how man would create that kind of a pattern. It looks like some kind of error did this or something. But it's like they're telling us different signs and seasons. Whether these are good angels doing this or bad, they're trying to communicate something. And well, God did say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that he created the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets for signs and for seasons. And the good and bad sides use them. So it is very interesting. You see here, we've got some kind of a planetary movement here with probably the sun in the middle and the solar system. I don't know. Here's what's called an infinity symbol. Looks like the number 8. And this can be found within the flower of life pattern. And there's just another one. There we got two triangles in a circle. These can be formed off of the flower of life as well. And here's an interesting one here. This looks like a serpent coming out of a wormhole. Now, could this have been fallen angels that made this? To tell people to worship the serpent in some way or the other, or to inform the people that, inform the initiated ones that the serpent is coming and this is the timeline or something like that. Possibly. It could also be maybe one of God's angels is trying to tell us a timeline. And they left signs knowing that people would take pictures of it where you could do a little calculation. You got some kind of an alignment here with the Earth, the Sun, and Venus. Interesting stuff. As you can see here, whether it's God's angels using this to communicate or Satan's angels, it's something that we probably want to know. We probably want to know something about it, because even if it's our enemy using it, we'd like to know what he's up to. And, you know, when trying to count the number of the beast, God gave us that clue of 666, not only because he wanted us, he didn't want us to just stop there and say, well, 666 an evil number. No, he wanted us to, I believe he really wanted us to search out wherever it was used and to realize there's a mathematical structure to time, to space, to his plan that's not meant for everybody to understand, except for those who are asked, seeking, and knocking, and those to whom God has given eyes to see and ears to hear. And there it is again. All right. It only takes one, believe it or not, it only takes one simple tool to construct this, and anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. Go search online, and they'll show you how to do it. But basically, all you need is a compass. That's it. Then you pick your next, if you wanted to keep building from this, you would just put that the sharp pricky thing there right on the line, and you'd draw another circle. And then you'd go from each intersection and build your way out. It's pretty easy to do. And what I thought was really interesting about this, I thought, well, what does this compass have anything to do with creation and the pattern, the blueprint of creation and things like that? Well, I found this verse in Proverbs 8, verse 27. And I thought it was really interesting. I'm going to read it here. It says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there." This eye here, in fact, read this whole chapter. This chapter is amazing. This eye was wisdom. Wisdom was there at creation. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, check that out there. The word compass is mentioned there, involved with creation and planning. All right. So, it all starts with a point. And then from a point, you can make a circle. And then you can make two circles. And then you notice you start seeing different things within these different patterns. You see a Christian fish. You wonder where that came from? People drive with it on their cars, and nobody really knows. Where did that shape come from? Well, I have no doubt it came from these two intersecting circles that start the basis of this flower, of what's called the flower of life. You know, some people, when they get into Christianity, they start studying the Bible. They look at symbols. You know, they might look at this and say, "Oh, that's the pagan fish god." But you know what? I've heard it said by a wise teacher once, a little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And it's so true. Hey, I've been there myself. I'm sure every one of you have, and maybe some of you still are. You have to keep studying and get a wide perspective, because you'll find out that paganism, all the way from the beginning, has copied the things of God. But copied it and perverted it. So just like the Christian cross, you know, that was in God's plan all along ago. It's up in the heavens. It's in the Hebrew letter Tau. It was used by God way before the pagans had even conceived of it. Think about that. So, hey, again, I've done this myself. I've looked at something and I thought, oh, that's got to be demonic. And then I did a little more research and I found out, well, that's not really demonic. It's something mathematical or astronomical. But what makes it demonic is Satan has stolen it and twisted it and has perverted its meaning. And it's no wonder, because what does Satan do? He's a blasphemer. And a thief and a robber. Anyways, okay, we'll go on. You see interesting things like this, and now you make another circle there. You have four circles, makes like a cat eye. Interesting, because a lot of animals in creation have this eye. Now, is this an evil symbol? Well, probably not. It's just a cat eye. So when you make seven circles, you get what looks like a lily. I found this is really fascinating because this is what's commonly called the seed of life. The seed of life. As though this is the sprout and everything begins at this stage. Basically. But I thought about this. I thought when I was studying this, it's like, okay, this flower of life, I mean, these shapes sure seem to be symmetrical and geometrical. Is that the right word? I don't know. We'll go with it. But I thought, well, how do I know that you can actually use this to learn math and science and astronomy and stuff like that? Well, I got a little bit of a confirmation here that I thought was interesting. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, Jesus says, "Consider the lilies." Now, that flower that you saw there was a lily. Lilies, to my knowledge, most lilies have six petals on them. And consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I never had really stopped to try to understand that. But, you know, so what did I do? I got on YouTube and I watched a video of lilies growing. And I watched a little time lapse of it and I compared it with other flowers. And what I noticed is like a rose, it'll twist and turn before it finally opens. But you know what a lily does? It just sits there in that pod. And then when the time's right, it just goes boop, and it just opens right up as though it's effortless, as though it opens at an instant. Verse 29, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And God likes those lilies. He thinks they're pretty spectacular. So when you look back at the flower of life and you find out it starts with a lily, it's not. It seems to be confirmation that that pattern is possibly the blueprint of creation. And there's a lot more to show, and I'm gonna probably try to speed this up a little bit, but you know, many times Christ would point to nature as a teacher. Speaking of this lily here, in fact, the Bible uses nature and its cycles for a vast majority of its teachings. I mean, all the feast days that the Israelites were commanded to observe were based off of the growing cycle. That's fascinating. All right, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Here's another example where God uses nature to teach us. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's interesting. So could that flower of life, that seed of life is what that was called when you got the first lily? Could that be a metaphor of, a physical symbol of the word of God growing in somebody's life, just like all living things do? Interesting. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Verse 13. "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away." So he's likening the seed to the word of God. He's using nature to illustrate a lesson. Over and over this is done. This, I found, was really interesting. This is what's called the egg of life. It's basically, it's the same thing as the seed of life, and you just, You're looking at it, erasing the line, the intersecting lines, and it looks like a little pile of eggs. So what it looks like, looks like what would be under a bird's nest or some other animal that lays eggs. Well, it doesn't stop there. Did you know that the human embryo within hours of conception looks like this? It looks like that egg of life. In fact, I read somewhere, and I can't say where I got this from. You have to check it out. But I read somewhere that said that everything, every living thing on Earth starts out in a formation like this. Every living creature. Fascinating. And when we zoom in to that foo dog, the Chinese dragon, he's guarding all these secrets here, and here you see it there, the egg of life, right there. You know, it's just like Satan. You know, when we get to the end of Revelation, or we get through the book of Revelation, we're gonna find out. Well, not the end. Within this 13th chapter, there's so much to teach within this chapter, but Satan's ultimate goal is to try to be a creator. And it's just like him to say he's the one that has all this knowledge and he's going to impart it because he stole it from God. And he gives his initiated ones. He says, come up higher and I will teach you a few more secrets. A little bit higher and I'll let you in a little bit more. But all the while, it was stolen from Almighty God. And you can get this same wisdom if you study the Word of God and observe the things around you. Just look at nature. But Satan has obscured it, hidden it. You might say, well, why don't we learn anything about this flower of life pattern in school? And why don't they apply it with geometry and mathematics? Well, there's a reason for that. I believe it's because Satan wants to hide it from the masses. All right. You go through this, these circles here we were just talking about. You can see here, it starts with a circle and you add it. Some people believe that these represent the 6 days of creation. And this is something I did with my kids here. We're learning a little bit about it and seeing what kind of shapes you could make out of it. You can make a hexagon, a triangle, a pyramid without a capstone even. I thought that was interesting. A cube. But if you want to get to the more advanced geometric shapes, you're not only going to need a compass, but you're going to need a square as well. Now that might give, see, this opened my eyes to something, pretty significant. This has been the sign of the Masons, which we talked about before. Most Masons don't really know anything about the Great Conspiracy. They're just kind of in there for social stuff and whatever. But it isn't until they get higher on that they know there's more to it. But even then, it is the serpent seed, and this is in protocol number 18 of the serpent seed's plans to take over the world through deception. They're the ones that are the real conspirators. From Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and they use the Masons as sort of a screen. But have they been let in on certain knowledge? I believe they probably have. Because these two symbols illustrate many of the different these are the tools that can be used to discover many of the different laws of nature. and how it's structured. Again, is Pastor Ben a Mason, or do I ever want to be a Mason? No, not at all. I'm a Christian. I study the Word of God. But what I'm saying is, this is where this symbol comes from. As you discover, you can make all these things with those two simple tools. All right. The flower of life. You can see here, looks like a line and an X or a cross. But this is what's called the fruit of life. And from this, you can see how this just keeps building outwards. From this come the Platonic solids, which are the building blocks of all existence. That's pretty significant. Now, the star tetrahedron, which this is one that many of you are well aware that Satan has stolen, and his children. Then you have the cube, the octahedron, the dodecahedron, the icosahedron. Sorry about that. I don't know how to say that one. But anyways, these here, what's significant about this is all these will fit into a sphere. All these Platonic solids fit within a sphere with all angles touching. And these are the building blocks of creation. Everything else is built off of these. Everything. All the way from the smallest atom to whatever. All right. So you can have a little fun with this. If you know, what I found was interesting, if you just started coloring in different parts of the flower of life pattern, you'll start seeing different things. You'll see a relationship between different lines and structures, and it can be a little bit of fun. Here you can see one triangle turns into, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 triangles. And there you have the hexagon there, or hexagon. I'm sorry, the star name I'm trying to think of it is the hexagram. And that's some other, you can see there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 triangles there. And this is kind of an artwork here. You see this is like a fence over the top of it. You can have a lot of fun with it. But then you start seeing things like you can get, you color the flowers in like this, and it looks like you have different wheels kind of turning upon each other. So some look like a alternator belt or something in your car even. And you can go on and on with that. And in the process when I was doing that, and I'm sure somebody else has discovered this, I discovered another interesting pattern. See, these other ones are just kind of for fun, but look at what this does. See that there? The DNA. DNA. And the chromosome can be drawn with this pattern. Keep in mind, we haven't done any really where we use the square or the straight edge, where you can connect the intersections to different things. I thought that was fascinating. And then you find out that there's different wavelengths in here. And when you get into biblical numerics, you find out that everything, most everything in creation, has to do with wavelengths. Whether it's music, whether it's colors, whether it's sound, whether it's light, you name it. And even astronomy, the 12 signs of the zodiac. Even here I got it broken down where it looks like a clock that hangs on your wall. And that is something we will probably get more in depth into, but I just wanted to show you that. And if you take the inner wheel and you turn it, it's like a wheel within a wheel. What does that remind you of? Well, I'm going to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. And it reads, "And I looked, And behold, a whirlwind. A whirlwind. Interesting. That reminds me of the Fibonacci pattern that's found in galaxies, hurricanes, and so forth. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was round about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of fire. Many of you are well aware what we're talking about here. Is Ezekiel is actually seeing what we call UFOs today, with this fire enfolding upon itself. And it's bright and has the color of amber, like polished metal, shining. But check this out. The appearance of the wheels, we didn't read the whole chapter there, but there were, these things came out and they looked like they were wheels. The appearance of the wheels and their work was likened to the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a, check this out, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Well, we just saw that from the Flower of Life pattern. In fact, when you look at it, there's all kinds of wheels that you see within that pattern. And I thought I had some more slides, but you know what? That appears to be it. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to get into some fascinating things. I hope you don't mind me stopping and taking the time to really break down this computation of 666. But you know what? I want to understand it better for myself. And so that means I need to kind of stop everything else and study it for myself and then share as much as I can with you guys. But you know what? It's very important because though it seems like we're spending a lot of time on one chapter, this topic, for me already, has opened up chapter after chapter, book after book of different books in the Bible, different parts of the Bible that I already had locked in my mind. I just, you know, I knew the basics of it, but then this, combining this knowledge with that, it's all growing tremendously. And it's fascinating. Hey, anyways, do like what Christ said when tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to christianovercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.